Okay.
And well, my problem is this, William. And I
no,
I'm
no,
sorry,
go and talk about it. Please talk about it.
I believe wholeheartedly that the choir is very important in creating an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere that gets you ready to receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is that you have, as Reverend Demery mentioned, a lot of churches that are engaging in entertainment. It's kind of like if you go to a Christian concert and it's like, okay, I could have got that at John Legend or Beyonce or somewhere, you know, if I wanted to feel like you were gonna put on the show for me. And we've gotten, I think, way too much of that going on. I mean, I would hear preachers say, you know, we got a cheerleader, we got a project. First of all, you need to understand you don't do this the way that the world does this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brother Tisdale said, we need to come to church prepared, to worship God and to hear the word of God. But, you know, if you just got a cancer diagnosis, you know, somebody in your family just died. If you've been out of work for 14 months and you've been praying and fasting and sometimes people just don't feel like praising. Sometimes they cannot get there. So I think we need to change our perception. Well, I won't say perception. That's
perspective,
not the right word. No, we need to change how we do things. We need to stop trying to force people into an atmosphere within themselves of praise and worship. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was watching a video, you know, of somebody in church, and the preacher was telling the whole congregation, run, get up and run for Jesus, run. I'm like, okay, but if you are not led by the Holy Spirit to run within on the inside, this is not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And
sounds
God
like a
says
sideshow.
It's those people, right, to right. worship him. And I think that we get to the point where we as a people, especially, you know, us in the black folks, and there are different denominations that feel like you aren't worshiping God if you're not worshiping him a certain way. Mm-hmm. If you're not shouting, you're not worshiping God. If you're not running, you're not worshiping God. If you're not slain in the spirit, if you're not speaking in tongues, and that is not, in my opinion, the way that worship is supposed to be. We're talking about music, and God's word very often talks about our praise being like an aroma, being like a sacrifice that goes up to heaven. In other words, it is very, very much like music when we praise God, when we worship God in accordance to how we were created to worship him. God didn't tell us all to worship him in the same way. David danced till his clothes came off. Then you have those who worship him in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Then you have those who make a joyful noise unto him with the trumpet, with the cymbal, and all those different things. But what's also in the Bible is the verse in, I think it's the book of Psalm, when it says, the Lord is in his holy temple, keep silence before him. There are some of us that are just so in awe of the presence of God, of who God is, of what he has done for us, that we can't speak. Those Dr. Watts that they used to sing at my church growing up, if I couldn't say a word, I just waved my hand. Sometimes that's all you can do.
Come on now.
When you have all those different people praising God in spirit and in truth the way they're supposed to, it's like a symphony orchestra. That's what heaven hears, okay? That gets the angels involved. Most importantly, that gets the Lord involved. And that's when the Holy Spirit can move to break yokes,
right,
save souls, to heal people, to change circumstances in your life. And if we as a people, the people of God, would just understand that and quit trying to make it look good for the TV screen because we know people are live streaming, things would be so much better with God's people.
Amen, so sister. Amen, amen. I want to go to Brother Tisdale and then to Mike and Dr. Demery, because you just said a mouthful, my sister. Because a lot of people get there in church and it's about putting on a show.
Yep.
Hey, Emma, my sister, she said, good afternoon, Studio W Buzz and guests. Hey. Thank you, Emma. Hey, Emma. Appreciate that. Emma's always listening in. I appreciate that. I love you, girl. But, Danny.
Yes.
You and I, and I think the panel, there is praise, then there's a show.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm not there for the show. I'm really not there for the show. Yeah, I want to feel just like when you sing or when I sing or when we do whatever we do. We want to feel, and it's an absolute with me.
Yes.
It's an absolute because I am coming. I hate phonies.
Right.
If I hate phonies, I refuse to be one. I can't do it. I can't do it for show. Danny, hey, brother, I'm going to just step aside, bro. What you got to say?
The burden removing, yoke destroying power of God comes into play when the anointing of God from the spirit that's within you is on you. You know what I'm saying? We just had one of the greatest displays of worship to our Almighty God when we had to see clips here a few days ago. Now, we had a whole millions of people that took out time to watch 4 minutes of the moon overshadowing the sun. That was one of the greatest displays of the handiwork of the creator of all.
Amen.
That hadn't been witnessed in over, 300 and some years ago was the last time it happened.
Wow.
Think about God that we're talking about. If we could get people to give praise unto God with the same honor and reverence that everybody wanted to witness that eclipse.
Right.
Can you imagine how God would understand if my people that are called by my name
Amen.
Will humble themselves and pray?
Yes.
And I will hear from heaven. I know God was watching as that eclipse, and I don't know how many of y'all took time out to watch it, but that was something that won't happen again for over, 300 years from now, the same way. Think about what kind of God that is that set all of this stuff in action. The sun knows where to stay in its right axis.
Right.
So does the moon. And it will repeat everything that it does again at another time. When you understand the omnipotence of God and who he is, but yet understand the simplicity of the gospel.
All right.
Because the gospel is simple. Scientists try to find all kind of analysis and reasons for everything. But it's the simpleness and the foolishness of preaching.
All right.
That brings people to understand. Who God is and who Jesus is, because it's about Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and when you can't depict that from these scriptures, because man got a whole bunch of ideas.
Yes, they do.
Boy, they got all kind of letters behind their name. And I heard the preacher say even earlier today, they still just all just as stupid as they can be.
That's right. Just break it on down. Tell it like it is.
I'm just telling it like it is, because the simplest gospel is very simple. And it's not very difficult, but that yoke destroying, burden removing power that comes through our praise, be it singing, string instruments, everything that has breath.
All right. Praise
everything that has breath. And vibrations, as Mike was talking about, sounds and vibrations is the very thing that music is.
Amen.
They're all vibrations giving honor back to God. Now, when some of these folks get to trying to do what they do with music, and they tie it to the lyrics that are so ugly and nasty and
bumpy. All right.
It don't do nothing to help nobody. It don't destroy, it don't take away not one burden.
Amen.
And it doesn't destroy one yoke. It actually puts you more in bondage because it's teaching you sexual. Because mostly everything you're looking at on most of these videos are women doing what? What are they showing?
Skin.
Skin.
Yes, sir. You got to sell them records. You understand?
Records, but see, America, the entertainment industry, they pay a lot of money for this. That's why Snoop Dogg is rich.
Amen.
But how many lives have been saved because of something that Snoop Dogg has put out?
Right.
You know, and I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. I'm just using that for an example. Mm-hmm. The industry, what it wants to elevate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave it at that.
I have a comment.
We're listening. Go ahead.
Okay. I think what Danny's speaking of and what we've been talking about here is it's my belief that God sends us constant reminders of his existence.
Amen.
If you're open and receptive to them. And I think sometimes God reminds us sometimes in large ways, like the eclipse. And sometimes he nudges us in a small way, if you're open to listen to it. So I read a story on the internet. sorry. It must be true if I read it on the internet, right?
Of course.
I read a story years
ago.
All
true.
So it's just, but it's a good story. It's a good story where two friends are walking together and they're both very wealthy. And they had lunch and they're leaving the restaurant and one of the gentlemen saw a penny laying on the ground. And he bent over, picked it up, looked at that penny, smiled, and put that penny in his pocket. And his friend smacks him on the shoulder and goes, What are you doing? You have millions of dollars. What are you doing picking up a penny off the dirty concrete? He goes, you want to know why? He goes, yeah. On that penny, it says, in God we trust.
Amen.
And that is a reminder to me that God does exist and God is in my life. And I acknowledge that by picking that penny up.
Wow.
Looking at it and putting it in my pocket.
Amen.
So I love that story so much. You know what I do now when I see a penny on the ground?
Pick it up.
I pick it up. I look at it. I smile. I put it in my pocket. Not my regular change pocket. I put it in a separate pocket.
Wow.
When I get home, I actually have a little jug of pennies that I've picked up off the street. And I put that penny with the other pennies that I've picked up off the street. To remind me that God is always there and he's always nudging us to believe in him.
And you have a nice little nest egg in a minute because it's a lot of pennies on the street.
I'll pick them up all day long. I'll pick them up all day long. I want to get back to what Dr. Demery was speaking to about singing in the spirit. I think that's, if I'm paraphrasing it correctly. But when people sing, whether they sing with conviction and from the heart and from the soul and their spirit, or whether they're just mouthing the words and humming along. And I live this on a weekly basis because I DJ and I also do karaoke work.
Yes. That is funny.
And what did William do here?
Oh, don't mind. Go on.
So,
listen to people sing karaoke is hilarious.
I would always say that karaoke makes my ears bleed. But I realize.
Except for when you heard me sing. Okay. All right.
Let him finish this story, William.
I realize that when people are singing karaoke and they're singing from their heart, they might not be able to carry a tune at all. In fact, they may make my ears bleed to some degree, but they are enjoying themselves in the moment. And the people listening to them that sing karaoke also, they actually appreciate people that sing with heart and with vigor and with spirit. And everybody has a good time. So you know what? I do karaoke because it makes people happy. But mm-hmm. I believe what Dr. Demery is saying is correct. What we're all talking about here is that if you put your heart into things, you get a reward, and sometimes other people get a reward as well. So that's my piece for the day.
Okay. You know, I've got something that I've wanted to play. I was pulling this up earlier, and I think it fits into this program because as much as we talk about the positive influences that music have in certain situations, we really have to be cautious of the flip side of that. So let's see if I can pull this up and share it with the audience here right now. All right, let's do this. Okay, right here.
Make a video about something I have a unique experience in. So I directed a bunch of rappers, people like Gucci Mane, Snoop Dogg, you know, Lil Yachty, the list goes on and on and on, okay? I learned a lot of things, and I have left
Can you guys hear that?
Largely yes. over my political beliefs, yep. but there is something I want to impart to people to hopefully, you know, make some sort of change happen. So I have a challenge to rappers, and
he's exposing the industry. Catch me with my commentary again, I'm profit.
I know some of you still follow me. I know a bunch of the celebrity blogs still follow me from trying to get news from music videos and things like that. So here's the truth. The truth is this, a bunch of young black male rappers keep dying. You know who's not dying? Record executives. The record executives that push for them to continue to make songs and create a culture that is obsessed with death, drugs, and sex. Period. The industry is obsessed with it, but those record executives, they're not dying because they don't push this culture on their own people. But they're encouraging you to push it on yours, and they're paying you handsomely to do it. The reality is I know a lot of you. A lot of you are good people, you're family guys. You're not the image that you put out there to the world. Why? Why don't you be the example? Stand up. I challenge you. Be the example. Make music about the culture you want to see. Don't just get online today and talk about how, you know, whenever a rapper makes it, his own people take him down. Don't just make those videos. Don't be sad. Don't rest in peace. None of that stuff. Be the change you want to see. Inspire it in your community. Reach out to other rappers and say, we have to stop. We're being used. You've been used for a long time. You know, they create this paradigm to make you believe that you're so important and your celebrity status is worth so much, but in truth, you're a pawn in their game and you always have been. The government has wanted to hold down communities of people in different ways through different methods for a very long time. Their method in the black community has been to use entertainment to create a culture obsessed with death, drugs, sex, and money so that they could create a false paradigm of what happiness and what success really was. And in doing so, they created a world that also made people more dependent on government and as a result gave themselves more power. The record executives that push you to do this, to go and continue to profit off the backs of your work, they're in cahoots with the elite. They're in cahoots with the government. They want you to think you're important, but in truth, you're just doing their dirty work for them, so stop. They've empowered you in ways that are real. You have an audience. You have platforms. You have the ability to make change.
But
so go against the grain together. They're more afraid of you all together standing up and creating a new culture that's built around family, faith, freedom, doing the right thing, valuing life, than they are of anything else. So I challenge you. Use your power to do the right things. If you continue to do the same thing you've done, more rappers like this are going to die. How many have to die before you change the culture? And let me tell you something else. There's a reason the record labels pay us more to do rap videos. They don't tell you that, do they? Do they tell you that they pay us more to do your videos? Because they do. They do it because they know it's more dangerous. They do it because they know it's more difficult, and they do it because, frankly, there's a lot of money laundering involved. Those labels wash a bunch of money through. We don't do it, but we know the labels are doing it 100%. Okay, they're then taking the money off the top end, and you see on your royalty check, oh, they spent $150,000 on this video. Did they? Because we didn't see $150,000. Okay, so where did the money go? And to who? Wow. Their friend's company? A lot of times that's the case. Same thing with insurance companies. They charge us more to insure your videos. And it's because they know the culture that's been created. They know that the only possibility of a music video being shot up is on a rap video. And that's the truth. So change the culture. You have the power. Your people deserve it.
Well, first of all, it's...
Okay. Wow. Okay. I want to start with the audience, guys. What he's saying is so true. And now, but most people, and especially our young people that's going into this industry, what are they looking for? Fame, fortune.
Money, power, fame. Money, power, fame.
That's right, Mike and Danny. And there's another thing, because Mike and I, we didn't touch it on this degree, but we talk about how many of our music artists have died too soon. We can go down the list, and it is horrific. It is absolutely horrific. So I want the audience, starting with you, Dr. Demery, to chime in on this. Let's go around the panel and talk about it, because it is, what is going on? What is really going on? We've seen this over the years. The people that we love listening to, before I even get into these rap artists, you know, and the types of music that they are producing. Because if you look at it, more than the lyrics, the audience is listening to the beat, something they can dance to, and whatever it is, right? And whatever you're putting out there that can make them dance, make them feel good, whatever it is. But when you start talking about the vulgarity and you're putting that into your rap videos, you're talking about the violence and you're putting that in your videos. You're talking about smoking someone. You put that in your videos. Then what are you perpetrating, what are you putting into the minds of the young people that's following you? Man, it is well, guess what? This sword right here cuts deep. When you start talking about things like that, you're preaching about things like that, you're rapping about things like that, you're discussing things like that, and this becomes your part of your culture? Come on. Mike, you and I, we talked about this on our shows all the time, the effects of music, what the effects that it has on your mind. But I'm going to start with Dr. Demery first. Dr. Demery, I want your take on the last piece that we heard, the last video that I showed.
Well, I mean, I would say very briefly from the fact in my earlier days, and some of you may know this, some of you may not, and I'm not just dropping names to, you know, get a point across, but I used to work for Dr. Dre, and everybody knows who he is and what he's done and what he stood for. And the thing about some of the rappers, I can't speak for all of them, but I mean, I worked for him and I was close to him and know a little bit about the way he used to be. I don't know how he is now because that's been years ago. Some of the guys who are into the rap scene, if I can use that phrase, are in it simply for the money. I mean, it's just pure and simple. And then some, unfortunately, because I've seen it, I'm telling you, I've seen it. They have embraced the dark side. And when I see they have embraced the dark side, they have given their souls over to the devil. Mm. They have given their hearts, their minds, and their spirits over to that. Similar to the story that many have heard about Robert Johnson, how he, at the crossroads, sold his soul to the devil. And that's why he became such a really good blues player. And, you know, they tell the story about how his music elevated and went to a whole nother level when he gave his soul over to the devil at the crossroads. So the point being is some of them have met the devil at the crossroads. Some are purely in it because of the money. I mean, Dr. Dre was the first rap artist to become a billionaire. Mm. I mean, a billionaire with a B. Mm. Others, I think, have come pretty close to that. And I can tell you, he is a businessman. Yes, he does rap music, and he has, you know, promoted and produced other rap artists. But I can tell you, he is about the business side of it. And the rest of the stuff that goes along with it, I mean, yeah, he's okay. But he's got a big, beautiful mansion in Brentwood.
Mm.
and he is a family man. You know, he has a daughter that graduated from USC. He donated money to USC on her behalf and has done philanthropy things that have benefited the community. Now, I would speak specifically to what this gentleman was talking about, and it's really kind of sad because some of them, like I said before, and I'll use that term again, have given their souls to the devil, and they have embraced the dark side, and that's the dangerous side, I think, of this rap culture. Now, there's one side of it that is, I think, sometimes what we don't look at. It's very creative, mm-hmm. very innovative in terms of these people that grew up in Compton and grew up in East Los Angeles and all this mm-hmm. other kind of stuff are speaking of the environment that they grew up in.
Right.
In the home, a mom who could have been a prostitute or a drug addict. They joined a gang and whatnot. And many of them are just speaking from their own reality. Mm-hmm. And then they fall into that slippery slope where they start sliding down that slope and they can't gain traction. They can't mm-hmm. grab hold of nothing to pull themselves back up. And before they know it, they have embraced the dark side. That's mm-hmm. all I want to say.
Well, I want to add to this. I have said on numerous occasions that I think when it comes to whether we're talking about those in the entertainment industry, those who are, you know, icons when it comes to sports, any of those types of things in the industry, you need to wonder why you hear so many times over and over again that these people have suffered from a drug overdose, or these people are in and out of jail because they've got issues with drugs, or they become bankrupt. I mean, how many times have you heard about celebrities, you know, losing all their money over and over and over again? And I think part of the issue with that is that, you know, you're not understanding that, as we say, when I was growing up, the game. And part of that game is keeping you inebriated, keeping you blind to what's really going on. You know, if you are an athlete who just passed on, and you really can't read and write, you really can't add and subtract, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to keep track of your money. And if you're entrusting other people with it, it's definitely going to be hard for you to know who's robbing you and who's not. So you have, you know, that on the one hand. Then you have on the other hand, a lot of people who will have, who have talked about it. I've seen interviews of talking about how there's a culture of drug use. I think, and forgive me if I'm getting it wrong, but I think it was an interview I saw with Natalie Cole years ago, because she was openly talking about her drug issues, and she was like, you know, she would do drugs in front of the people who were coming for an interview to work with her, just to see where they were on that issue, because if you weren't down with that, you didn't need to be dealing with her. So if you've got people, you know, feeding you drugs like it's candy, you know, like it's cake, like it's donuts. Just like somebody else is going to get strung out on the food, you're going to get strung out on this feel-good substance. And the Bible says that you need to be sober so you can think and pray. It's real hard to think when they pencil whooping you because you're too high to realize it. You can't understand that you're getting a bad deal because you're on the moon somewhere when you need to be feet firmly on the ground in front of these people, understanding what they're saying and taking it to somebody who can help you if you don't understand what it's saying. So I think we have a lot of that is going on. You know, I think it was Toni Braxton that was on Oprah Winfrey one time because she had like two, if I'm not mistaken, two very public bankruptcies. I think they took her Grammys and stuff like that. And so she was telling Oprah, you know, I went to school to be a teacher. I don't know how to do this stuff. Oprah said, you sign every check. You don't let anybody have control of your money. You see everything that goes in and your name goes on it. You see it. You do it. And it's that kind of simple stuff. When you have people who are not money savvy, people who aren't business savvy in any sense of the word, and then they're being given away to change their whole lives. Yeah, a lot of them do throw any and everybody else under the bus. And when I say any everybody else, I mean the culture as a whole. When you look at shows in the past, like when Diane Carroll had a show, I think she was a nurse who was a single mother, and so many other people who were awesome actresses like Harry Belafonte and all those folks, Sydney Poitier, they just made us look really good. They showed African American people in their best light, even when it was, you know, movies or whatever, where you got to see the abject poverty that was just stark in the show. The people spoke well. They behaved well. They acted excellently. It was just a big contrast to what you hear the racist oppressor saying to what you were seeing and shown on the screen and listening to in the music. And so all of that has kind of turned around in a lot of ways that I think are detrimental. And then at the same time, I don't want to take away from those who are telling their stories, who are just being honest about what they see in their neighborhoods. You know, when they're talking about their anger towards police brutality or, you know, being, when you call it racially profiled, that's a very healthy outlet to get that type of stuff out. But at the same time, if you're going to turn it around and market it and sell it as this is what it means to be black, that is a detrimental effect on all of us, because it's not what it means to be black. It is a real sad part of life for a lot of people, and it doesn't matter where you grew up. There are a lot of people who have had those types of issues, but we don't need to package it as this is what it means to be black and stuff that down the throats of everybody who listens to the music. Emma has a lot to say. She says street life and fast money. Most of the rappers come from playing follow the leader. Well, that's and then she says money is the root of all evil. Makes some good points. Brother Tisdale, looks like you're ready to talk. What do you got to say?
You just tune in on so many great and beautiful things, and then Reverend Emery, he tuned in about the dark side. So when you mm-hmm. go to talk about the gangster rap,
right?
Gangster rap. None of these guys are living that life that they're rapping about.
Right.
Now the industry is welcoming all of this. If you haven't seen American Fiction, I tell each of you, take time out and look at that movie.
Mm.
It is amazing, and it's a great depiction of what people are paying for today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They pay for a certain stereotype of mm-hmm. an image that they want to look and see that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay for that. Rap music and hip hop started out, you know, basically in years ago with the Last Poets and guys like that. You know, mm-hmm. that was a movement going on during that. Now it's right. something totally different now.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the movie again, Danny?
American Fiction.
I've never seen it. I'll look it up.
Yeah, man, that's a good movie, man. If you pay attention, it's about a writer, a guy who writes books. Mm. And he tried to write one of the worst books that he could think of and made more money than he ever had by writing. Wow. It's real silly. But you got to see the movie to really understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a chance to witness it. But it gives a good example of where we are today. Mm-hmm. You know, because there are sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, this is what sells today.
Right.
Reverend Demery brought up a real important thing as he spoke about his experience with Dr. Dre. He is a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So to get exposure of your music or to get worldwide distribution costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Most independent label people don't even have that type of money to even compete with just Warner Brothers and all of these big labels that give you worldwide distribution of your music. You know what I'm saying? And then them, many of those that sign on to the dark side, they ready to sell their soul to something that is on the dark side.
Exactly.
Satan, you know what I mean? So you can, these young kids, I watch some of these young kids with all these different hairstyles, and clothing that they choose to wear. Where are they getting these ideas from?
Exactly.
They see.
I call that the peacock syndrome. Right. Look at me, look at me, look at me. It's all about me. Look at me. That's where they get their gratification from. The money, power, fame.
They got tattoos all over their face, all over everywhere you can look, there's tattoos and all that. Mm-hmm. Where is all of that coming from? You know,
they want to be looked at. They want to be famous. They want to feel like they somehow have an impact on the whole world, when in reality, none of us have that big of an impact on the world. But they want to feel as though they do. And absolutely, they've been sold a bill of goods.
And, you know, and along Danny's point there, you got tattoos all over your face and your neck and stuff like that. Let's say your dream job as a rapper or artist doesn't work out, and you try to get a real job.
Right, right.
The first thing that employer is going to look at, what? No, okay. Next, you will not get that job. I had a true story. A young man came in to interview when I was at a major firm, and I was a partner, and I was in charge of hiring certain agents into the firm. And I had met his dad a few days before. He overheard a conversation, and he said, "Oh man, my son will be right for that opportunity." Okay, because I was recruiting for agents to represent certain financial products and things of that nature. Okay, and so that particular day, I also had another obligation. So I had my secretary, who was very good at what she did, to interview this gentleman. So when I came into the office that afternoon, I said, "Hey, Carol, how did that interview go?" She said, "You're not going to like him." I said, "Why?" So he came in. He said he was clean, but he was sagging.
Wow.
He was sagging. His pants. Meaning that he came in and he was showing his drawers.
No.
His pants.
No.
You could see his underwear. And then, to further this, so he came in and he wanted to sit behind my desk.
No.
And said, okay. And she, okay, I don't know how that was allowed, but anyway, I wasn't there and it wouldn't have been. Okay. But anyway, she said that he put his feet on my desk. Folks, you can't make this up. You cannot make, it should have been a movie. And said, so she went on with the interview and says, "Well, where do you see yourself?" I see myself taking over Mr. Brown's job.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're good enough, then take it. But the point is, folks, you cannot come in for an interview with that type of gravitas, that type of arrogance and disrespect. Right. So, number one, I represented a major corporation. Okay? And my agents, we wore suits and ties. Okay? We did not come in with hip-hop garb on, sagging your pants. You know, right. And coming in, and you have no experience? So, my secretary said, Mr. Brown, what you want to do with this application? I said, you know we have a file 13, don't you?
Just trash it.
Folks, come on. Let's be honest right now.
Right.
Representation.
On a side note, William, before you go on, sorry to interrupt you. I love when all the criminals wear their drawers halfway down to their knees, because when they went to run from me, they couldn't run. That's honest to God. Or they're holding them with one hand, trying to run with the other. I just love that.
So, guess what?
Sorry to interrupt, William.
Hey, wow. Mike, it doesn't matter whether you were a sprinter or not. You could catch them.
Exactly.
You didn't need to run a 4.2 or 4.8 in a 40, right? It didn't matter.
I wasn't that fast, but I could catch them when they wore their drawers down around their knees.
You know, I tell you what. Let's put that, you know, there's a couple of categories there. Smart, dumb, stupid. Okay? And that is the stupid category, right? It doesn't make any sense. So, folks, what we try to do here on the Boomerang Love, and all of my other broadcasts that we produce, is education. And some things are basic. And I'm going to tell you, growing up in my neighborhood, which is, oh my God, a 180 from what's going on right now. We wore decent clothing, suits, your best suit. And one thing at my dad, I have to say something about my dad that I really appreciate it. I took it. He said, son, when you leave out of the house, wear the best thing that you got. Wear the best thing you got. In other words, the best representation of yourself. So it's not only the visual, but then what comes out of your mouth next. Okay? And there's some basics, folks. And my mom taught me this too. Please, thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Folks, these are the basics that we are not teaching our children.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't mean that you have to succumb or be below anybody else, but put yourself out as a man or a woman or a child or whatever it is. When I opened this conversation, I said something about Ann's husband, Mr. Andre Taylor.
Yep.
The first conversation I had with him, he said, hello, sir.
That's him.
That's him. But folks, why shouldn't it be us?
If you want respect, you have to give respect.
What's wrong with hello, sir? Hello, ma'am. Good morning. Good afternoon.
They said that sounds old if you call them ma'am or sir. That's my daddy. That's not me. I'm like,
why?
Because they don't know what respect means anymore. Look, you have,
come on, man.
You have, case in point, my son's date for the prom. It's not used to young men paying for everything. It was like, well, how
not
much
anymore.
Right. How much? Well, what's my part in it? He's like, you don't have to pay for anything. I asked you out. I'm taking you out. So I don't have to pay for this. I don't have to pay. No, my parents old school. We don't do that when it comes to dating girls. But the fact that this young lady had never experienced that, and you know, in her life dating guys, it's like, okay, this is basically a symptom of what it's like for them. They don't know what it's like to be treated like young ladies, like young women. And then you don't have, so you have a group of men who don't know what it means to be a young man. And when you listen to them do these interviews with people about dating and whatnot, I remember reading this magazine and they were trying to talk about, you know, how girls felt about premarital sex and this. And they were like, well, is it okay to sleep with somebody on the first date? And I asked this one girl, she was like, well, you can't do that all the time, but you know, every now and then, you know, it depends on the circumstances. Like, okay, so nobody wow. told you that you don't so much as kiss a guy on the first date, let alone sleep with him on the first date. And so they have no clue what it means to respect themselves, wow. respect other people. Young ladies don't know what it means to be treated like a lady because you've had a whole culture of people making it seem like a guy opening a door for you or, you know, taking you out and paying for everything is you being a weak woman. Don't get me wrong. I truly believe women should have their own money, should be able to afford to go out and take care of themselves. And if they're not married or whatnot, have your own home, your own car, all that is absolutely fine. Taking nothing away from you when it comes to all of that. But it should not be a problem for a man who's interested in you to treat you like you're special, mm-hmm. to treat you like, you know, you deserve for somebody to hold a door open for you and you walk through it, you know, to treat you like, you know, you deserve to walk next to the door and they walk towards the curb so that if something were to happen, you're not the one who gets hurt. You know, I mean, there is nothing wrong with men being protective of people, of women that they care about, of showering that type of affection on you. But society has made it seem like it is. And so young men, you've got a whole generation of men and a whole generation of young women who have not been taught these basic fundamental things about, I'll say gender roles or relationship, how to deal with relationships with one another, let alone with their elders. Right. I mean, they don't know how to deal with each other. So they don't know, they don't say yes, ma'am. They don't say yes, ma'am at school. They don't say yes, ma'am at home. They don't say yes, sir, or none of that type of stuff. So it's just a whole generation that hasn't been taught. And you can see the results of that in the way that they behave towards one another, towards their elders, towards those in authority. It's just a total breakdown.
You know what? And what Mike was saying, respect. And I have to acknowledge something that my sister said. She said, I will speak to anyone, my neighbor. Laugh at me because I speak to her dog. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost you anything. And she right. also want to know, where are those men? Mm. Where are those men that used to show respect? And folks, look, we are far away from where Mike and Brother Tisdale and Dr. Demery, where men, look, I think I was 28 years old, and I didn't want to do that at that time. And I went out on a date. And the lady offered to go Dutch. Mm. And I said, no. It's long, like with AJ. No. And it is shocking to me that women says, women hold it. I don't have to pay for anything.
Right.
This man is taking me out. He's doing this. Now, okay. Let's draw the line. Mike, I want you to draw. Mike, I want you to jump in. Mike, I want you to jump in, but right there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we got gold diggers out here. I don't remember that term coming up until recently, right? That want to use men. And if you don't have anything, they're not going to talk to you. That's a whole different story. But
you got the males doing that too nowadays. And don't have jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not discounting that at all. And I appreciate that too. But, But then the woman said, okay, well, if you ain't got nothing, okay, then I'm not going out with you. But not even, Mike, I want you to jump in this, and then Dr. Demery, and then Danny. But what about this man? Okay, he might be going to college. He has, he's pursuing a degree. He has ideas of whatever it is. Yeah, he may be driving a 1990 Toyota, whatever it is. But because he's not driving a Cadillac or Mercedes or Bentley or whatever it is, okay, I'm not going to deal with this guy. Right. That is so stupid. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the character of a man, Mike?
So what I wanted to go back to.
Go ahead, brother.
There's a problem on both sides. Okay, there's abuse that goes on both sides.
You're going to do both sides, though.
Both sides. So I don't know if William sent me this video or if I sent it out to all of you. I hope I did. But there was a video that showed a gentleman. Now, this is a group of people that were probably 30-ish. So they're grown adults. And it was a lady's birthday. And I think it was the guy's wife. And they all went to a very nice place for dinner to celebrate her birthday. The wife or whoever's birthday it was invited like 8 of her girlfriends.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did I send it out or did you send it to me?
Wow.
And at the end, the tab was almost like $1,000 or something for all of them combined.
I knew that.
And I think he mentioned, well, I'm paying for my lady who it's her birthday. And they all went, oh, no, you're paying for all of us. And I thought that was so abusive.
I wouldn't send
it out to y'all.
Mike, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. I saw that same video. You could have sent it to me, or I may have seen it. But let's say you sent it to me. I said, look, okay, you were my girl.
Right.
No. This relationship is over. So he said, I agree. I'm going to pay for my girl, but you invited 7 or 8 your girls and you want me to pay for all of them and you get upset because I'm not paying for everybody. That is absolutely insane. Dr. Demery, let's go to Danny. And man, I can't believe we only have about 7 minutes. Dr. Demery, real quick, your take on this. Let's go to Danny and back to Ann. And I want to thank all of you guys because this was not the topic that I had picked for tonight. It's the boomerang. It's the boomerang. And we're just throwing it out here. And it's going to come back. Dr. Demery, let's talk.
I think real briefly, I didn't raise boys, I raised daughter. And those of us who've raised daughters know that part of it is expectations. Mm-hmm. And if a woman wants to be treated a certain way, much of it has to do with the way they've been trained and the way that they were raised.
Come on, brother.
You have to raise women to be able to expect certain things. Mm-hmm. And if that person does not meet that expectation, then, you know, hey, keep on going down the road, brother.
Right.
Real quick story. There was a guy that came that was going to date my daughter, and he pulled up to the house, had his own car, whatnot. I don't know if his father's car or whatever. He blew the horn. And I said, don't you go out there. You better not go out there. And so he finally came up to the door, knocked the door. So, well, what's going on? What's happening? And I happened to be sitting there, and I was cleaning my shotgun. Up and down.
That's received.
As long as you live, young man. I said, I don't care where you were raised or who brought you up.
Right.
Come up to a young lady's door that you want to and blow the horn and expect him to come out. Now, you sit down for a minute so I can tell you a few things.
I know, right?
We can.
Wow. Wow.
Jesus,
I set my shotgun down, and we continue to have a conversation. and he, at the end of it, said, yes, sir, no, sir. And, you know, the other quick story, and I'll end with this.
Oh, no, continue.
And I've told this story before. My brother, when his daughter started dating, they had to sign a contract.
I know, right?
And when they came, they had to sit down with my brother. He said, I want to know your home address, your mom's name, your daddy's name, your address, where you live, and what time you're going to bring my daughter back home. And you better not be 5 minutes late.
I know, right? And I mean, one.
Contract.
Oh,
so, woo. All of this has to be taught to our young women. And then, obviously, if you have young men, you teach the young men. But the women have to be able to expect certain things as well.
Help me. Oh, my God. That is too funny. Danny, I have no words.
I will say this. We have witnessing a generation of babies having babies that have come to fruition and to adult status in age. Now, many men are not understanding what men are. Men are, they have to be the priest, provider, and protector over what they are stewards over, be it in singleness or in relationship, in a marriage. You still, the requirement is the same. You got to be the priest, provider, and the protector of everything that you steward over. And
preach,
if you haven't learned that, you don't even understand, come close to knowing what a man looks like. So,
all right.
Babies that has had babies that were unable to teach them to be other than anything but a baby, I don't care what age they are, they still have not stepped into manhood.
Come on, brother. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, your take on this particular broadcast, because, like I said earlier, this is not the topic that I even chose in the very beginning. How did it go sideways? Well, not sideways, but upward to something that needed to be discussed?
Because it's Studio W. we don't do scripts here. You know, William and I, we go back and forth on Tuesday night or Thursday night for Coast to Coast. And, like, we start out in one direction and we never end up in the direction we were going. It's just nothing is scripted. I mean, yes, we have playlists. That William and I, he dovetails my playlist into with his playlist. Sometimes we don't even get to the playlist because we have other guests come on or we got requests going on, and that's okay. We had a term in search and rescue, which was all, we called it Semper Gumby. I think I've told you guys about this before. Semper Gumby, it means Semper Fidelis is always faithful for the Marines. Well, Semper Gumby, for us was always flexible because when we did search and rescues, it was all volunteers. I didn't know if I was going to get 8 volunteers or 80 volunteers to show up for a rescue mission or a search.
Wow.
So I always had to write plans up to 80 people, but maybe I only got 8. So we always had to be flexible in what we did and putting people in the field. Sometimes, especially in my early days, they'd airlift me on the top of Mount Baldy or on San Gregorio. They'd airlift me in and they said, we'll be back to pick you up. Oh, no, they didn't come back to pick me up. Sorry. We're socked in. You better get comfortable for the night.
Yeah, we don't have a discussion.
I have got dropped off on so many mountaintops here in this county, in Riverside County, and that we'll be back in 2 hours to get you. Oh, weather turns sour, or the wind's over 5 miles an hour. Well, we can't fly in over 5 mile an hour wind. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Wow. So, yeah,
whenever I went out, I made sure I took everything with me because I might be comfortable for a day and a half or whatever.
Right.
Back
to you have to adapt, right, Mike?
I know.
You have to adapt. But, hey, guys, I want to thank you so much. And tune in to the Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast. Every Thursday, you talk about fun, hilarity, and you have no idea. Well, I think you got an idea of what's going to happen because Mike and I, we're off the chain. I say off the chizane, okay?
No, William is. You know why? Because William doesn't take his Actrite pills.
And guess what? And I'm not taking them.
At least I take mine.
No, I'm not taking them.
Hey, 90-day supply.
I don't care.
90-day supply.
I do not like medication.
Yeah.
It's always a blast. Thank you so much. Tell us about the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show.
Well, Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, we're a nonprofit organization. We teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. One of the ways we want to encourage you is through our radio show, which comes on live Saturday mornings right here on Studio W Buzz every Saturday at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time. We introduce you to a different guest who can further you along your way to health and fitness. We also like to give you your weekly encouragement with our weekly motivation, so you don't want to miss it. Tune in every week. And then stay tuned for the Teens Talk Truth radio show, hosted by my sons, AJ and Alex Taylor. They discuss hot topics affecting teens in society today. And you don't want to miss it. They take their guest on a roller coaster ride like they did yesterday with their guest, Ankit Shukla, as they discussed his book, I Love Your Food. So you guys don't want to miss it. Oh, stay with us every week and then turn around on Sundays and come back for the boomerang again.
You know, my sister, I think she should have been a stand-up comedian. She said, hey, my mother didn't play that horn blowing either. She would say, this is not a drive-thru.
So, I know, right?
And she said about me and Mike, they don't take medicine on Thursdays. They just have communion. I don't know what you would call it, communion or what else.
Right. Right.
Hey, Danny. Hey, brother. Hey, thank you so much for chiming in. You always have a seat at the table. You know that. I'm gonna say, you get a link every Sunday, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Don't play stranger on me. All right.
You my brother.
I'll put an APB out on you.
Okay.
You can count on that, Dr. Demery. Always a pleasure, my friend. Hey, the Mentone Congregational Church. Now I know you guys don't have a stoplight. But do you have a stop sign yet?
There might be one.
Where's the address?
We are at 1304 Barrel Avenue on the corner of Highway 38 and Barrel Avenue. Church starts at 10 a.m. Everyone's welcome and we'll feed you.
Oh, man, oh, man. What a great show. I want to thank you guys for listening to and listening in to The Buzz. And the Boomerang Radio Show, and Danny, Mike, Dr. Demery, you guys are hilarious. You guys are hilarious. Thank you so much.
Likewise, my friend. Likewise.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. Always a blast right here on Studio W The Buzz. Hey, stay tuned. Coming back in about 56 minutes or so, it's Sunday Night Gold with yours truly, WB. Right here on The Buzz. Guys, have a great night.
Hey, Jazz. You.
Oh, you were Jazz. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Goodness gracious. So some respect.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, help Mike. Help Mike.
So some respect.
Okay, I will. Hey, you know what? I've got something for all you guys right now. Okay, I've got something for you. Okay, how about this?